This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network is here. Seth Levitt, OJ McDuffie from the Fish Tank Podcast. I am Travis Wingfield, the host of the Drive Time Podcast, and normally I throw it to Juice here. We're going to do that in just 1 second, but first, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Juice, we get our most comprehensive, complimentary, complete team victory of the season, and I have to go to an ID break right off the top. Let's go back to you here, my man. What'd you think? Initial reactions on that game.
Well, my initial reaction is I thought I was going to get a better, what's up? You know what I mean? That's what I thought I was going to get, bro.
The ID threw me off.
Yeah, the ID, yeah, had you off your game a little bit. You know, not, but you had us prepped for this, Travis. You know, Seth and I were prepped for like a long, like a whole segment long, you know what I mean? What's up?
I was ready for the best one of the season.
Yeah, and it got real short.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, you know what it is? When you ever watch those dancers and performers and they try and sing at the same time and they're completely out of gas, out of breath?
I don't.
Travis was pumped up and rightfully so.
Well, I don't think Travis is that excited about the game because it's
open. I don't know, man. I was sitting next to him during there. He was trying to violate every press box rule that existed. What a game by
no
the Miami
doubt
Dolphins.
About it, Travis, man. Yeah, hey. What a great game, man. What a great job. I mean, from beginning to end, you know, a tough start as we've seen at times, man. But this team put it together on so many ends that we haven't seen before, man. All right, let's not be crazy about the Carolina Panthers team, right? But a team that's been playing pretty decent football, bring Cam Newton back. But this team out there defensively is what we expected. We got back to some special teams played. That was what we were hoping for. And offense did their job. It was so much fun to watch, man, and just see those guys go out there. And you could see the momentum growing. You could see the fact that, you know, everybody said, all right, they beat the Texans. Okay, one thing. Oh, they beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big
Fluke,
thing.
Right?
Oh, okay, then they beat the Jets. Not a big thing. Now we play the Carolina Panthers with Cam Newton and McCaffrey back. Even though McCaffrey came up lame a little bit in the game, you know, that's another thing. But at the same time, though, man, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. All that matters is what the Dolphins are doing. And to see the way the team is playing, to see the way that the teams are playing, see where the defense has finally got an identity. Bro, it was so much fun to watch it once again, man. And we'll get into it later, man. But to see the young guns go out there and do what they did today, the future of the Dolphins is so bright, man. You know what I mean? And I'm excited about it, man. And Tua and the offense and obviously the defense, man. Fun game. A game you're supposed to win at home, and we get it done.
And Seth, you know, that game kind of reminded me of the Rams game from a year ago where it was just pure domination. And in that game, Miami won that second quarter 21-0. Today, 14-3, but it could have been a lot worse, right?
Or better, I should say. And well, a lot worse for the Panthers, yes. Right. It absolutely should have. But forget what it should have been. They scored 14 points in the second quarter. We talked about it. Travis had a great tweet today. The Dolphins came into this game averaging 2.5 points per game in the second quarter. And we've been talking about that
less
second
quarter. Less than a field
quarter.
Goal, Big Seth?
Less than a field goal. You can't score 2.5 points in this game. You can't do it, right? And I've been preaching all year to try and turn this into a hockey with three periods. I wanted to eliminate the second quarter. It's a good thing nobody listened to me, Travis, because they had 14 points. And that, to me, that was the difference of the game. They blew this thing wide open in the second quarter, and that's what you like to see. Go into the half feeling good about yourself, make whatever adjustments you need to make, and then come in and punch them in the mouth in the third quarter and get out of here with another W. It's exactly what happened. That second quarter is critical, and we saw – look, that seven-game losing streak, you go back and it was less than 2.5 points a game. It was difficult to watch. But I can get used to this. Yeah. Four straight now, Travis. I like coming onto this show with a winning streak.
Who doesn't?
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to say it, but you guys know what I'm thinking. The same thing I told you after the Houston
game. Don't do it.
I'm not going to do it. But
Travis,
just,
we've been taking this one game
I'm not
at a time
do it.
And look, it's working out.
I'm just going to tell you, look at the schedule. I'm not going to do it, but look at the schedule coming up here. And, one thing we kind of debate here among the three of us in the podcast network here and the post-game show is, should we keep doing these inside jokes that are kind of more between us? Or it's more of a podcast thing, but we enjoy doing it. The inside joke there that Seth mentioned was that he was the one that found the stat that I tweeted. I tried to give him credit for it. He wouldn't take it. So that's the kind of guy Seth is. PR guys through and through until the day he dies. But Juice, let's go back to the game here on the field, because utter domination, man. Like this game, 33-10, it could have been significantly worse for the Panthers, like Seth said, better for Miami. But I think you look at every aspect of this game, and we'll go about the whole show doing this, but the quick game, the idea for the offensive game plan, I thought was good. To be able to run the football and close out the clock there late when everybody in the stadium knew the running game was coming. Big days from all your rooks. The special teams get themselves a touchdown. Defense, sacks, picks, pressure. Get the quarterback knocked out of the game. I think his final passer rating, Seth, what was it, 5.8?
5.8 was the last that I saw. I don't even know how that's possible. There were writers in the press box looking up if it's possible to get a zero passer rating.
Right.
That's the kind of research they were doing.
Someone had a Wikipedia page up right in front of us that said, list of quarterbacks to post a zero quarterback passer rating in a game, and Cam Newton almost got there. P.J. Walker finishes 40.4, so not much better for him. But, Juice, with all of that said, man, like, what's the big takeaway here? You mentioned it earlier, the complimentary football, but what do you really point to in this game? Because there was a lot of things to look at.
Well, you got to start with defense. You have to. Defense set the tone. Turnovers, special teams, block punt for a touchdown, things like that, man, give your offense a lot of confidence, man. And I love the fact that no matter who was out there, sure it's Cam Newton. We got a lot of young guys that played Cam Newton in Madden football. They thrive on that stuff, Big Seth.
For sure.
They get out there and they love to see the guys that they grew up watching and loving, and they're going to get a chance to play against them. We got a young team. You talk about Jalen Phillips getting at him. We always talk about Javon Holland. Javon Holland's every single week we talk
Superstar.
About him. You know what I mean? We know about our corners, how well they play. But when you get against a guy, like for me, I mean, I always go back to my old ass days. when I lined up against Everson Walls, when I was a Cowboy fan, I had him in the slot. I said, I'm going to kill this old dude. And I did.
Did you?
You know what I mean? Yeah, and I did. So you got to think that our young guys going against a guy, Cam Newton's not an old guy by any stretch of the imagination, but when you see a guy that you play Madden with when you're sitting in your college dorm and, he's been dominant and you get a chance to go play against him in real life and you go out there and you play well, dude, that's what's up, man, because our young defense, they loved it. And we'll get into the Jalen Phillips, and you guys will talk more about what he did and the day that he had, But when you see a guy that you idolize or you, watch playing, bro, it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
I agree, Juice. And, look, a lot of those guys who have big games today weren't even with this team last year. But forget Madden. Just a year ago, when in the season opener in New England, there was a lot of smack being talked between Cam Newton and this defense. There were chains being snatched. There was a lot, and Cam got the last laugh. He didn't go home with his chain, but he got the last laugh because of the way that game ended. So, you heard it in some of the talk this week during the press conferences, and we don't want to give Cam anything to talk about. So, that was on their mind. And, boy, it showed in the way they played today.
So we talk about the passing of Cam Newton. That's obviously a big storyline
here. The passing of Cam Newton.
No. The throwing of the football, not the death.
I hope he's still alive. I mean, 5.8 rating, though. I don't know.
We didn't kill him, Neil. We didn't kill him, man.
You killed his game.
We just terrorized him.
You killed his game in his season stats for sure. 5 for 21, 92 yards, 2 picks and a sack, the 5.8 passer rating. But how about this, Juice? On the ground, 3 rushes, 5 yards. Christian McCaffrey, 10 rushes, 35 yards. Chandler had 1 for 14 on a fake punt, so toss that aside because that doesn't count the rushing totals. Chuba Hubbard, 2 for 6. Amir Abdullah, 2 for 4. On the day, the Panthers wind up with, pulling it up right now, with 64 rushing yards in a game where we thought, man, the Dolphins have to find a way to stop that running game.
Yeah.
Dolphins get 111 yards of their own on the ground. So whether it's the takeaways, the big sacks, but to dominate in the trenches, that feels good, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Even in the passing game with Carolina, you know they had one receiver that went over 100 yards, but they had one big play.
64 yards.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm with you. They were dominant on defense today, man. Controlled the run, controlled the pass, controlled Cam Newton. You know, and I was looking, watching the game from the sideline, and I looked down there, and I had my binoculars on. I'm looking down there, and Cam is, like, railing at the offensive line. He's railing at the offensive side of the ball, like, trying to get them motivated, trying to get them going. But there was no answer. They had no answer today for what we were doing as a defense. And, you know, minus even Brandon Jones. Brandon Jones didn't play at all, correct?
Correct. He's out.
You know what I mean? And we got some guys that have been disruptive that weren't even out there at times. So it was so nice to get out there and see our boys go out there and play the way they played, man. But our defense is getting to the way that coach wants it, the way we want it, the way we envision it, that anybody we line up against, we should be able to do big things against. And that's what happened today. So it was just, like I said, once we got through the beginning of the game, the rest was all about the Miami Dolphins.
Absolutely it was. And the offense did their job to kind of hold up the complimentary bargain on that as well. You mentioned Cam's energy on the sideline. That's all fine and well. We know that's kind of player he is. I was pretty impressed, Juice. I don't know if you saw this, but after a couple of the penalties on one of the Dolphins' last field goal drives, it was a weird drive, Seth. I think they mentioned it on the radio, like 9 plays, 16 yards, and it took 6 minutes off the clock because they kept on getting backed up. Tua was fired up, and he grabbed a face mask there on Austin Jackson at one point and gave him an earful after.
About damn time.
But that's kind of, Omar Kelly in the press box was talking about how this is his 16th start. So today we have the bookend on what's a typical rookie season. And you go in there against number one ranked pass defense, Seth, 27 for 31. That's 87% completion, 230 yards, a touchdown, took 2 sacks, but 108.3 pass rating against a defense that doesn't allow that stuff very often.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you ask for,
nothing,
right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, maybe if he was a better shortstop and picked up one of those ground balls that came out from the center. But I look, if people are waiting to see Tua throw for 500 yards and 80-yard passes every time he lines up, that's just not the player he is. And it's not how this offense is built. And,
right.
And quite frankly, I don't know that this offensive line would give him the opportunity to do that.
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, this offensive line.
To be determined. Yep.
But making the throws when they need to be made, we talked about and we saw a lot this week, even in the national media, about how effective Tua has been in the fourth quarter. But he was, I thought, consistently productive and effective and efficient throughout this entire game. And, Juice, isn't that what you want from your leader? The guy who's under center, he needs to be able to control the game.
Key, Seth, do you think we found our identity now? I think our identity really is this type of offense.
For sure.
You know, everybody's been looking for, like, down the field and all this other stuff. This might be our identity right now, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it works. It definitely works. Against the teams we played, it's worked so far, as long as our defense is doing what they do. And you said something about shortstop. You said something about it. I'm going to tell you this. I had one of my, I've been busy in the stadium today.
I try not to make too many baseball
one
references.
One of the biggest honors I had today, I met Johnny Bench today.
Oh, you did?
Johnny Bench.
I was with your boy Warren Green today.
Oh, well, that sounds all right.
I met Johnny Bench in one of the suites, man, and he's a huge Dolphin. You know what I mean? I told him how much a big fan I was of him in the Big Red Machine, bro.
Yeah.
And so, you got a guy like that can, can control a team and control an offense. I think that's what Tua was at. Tua was really, really good. And the fact that we saw him with a little bit of energy, a little bit of attitude today, that's all I was looking for out of him. Everything's not hunky-dory, man. But when you got a quarterback that's got a little funk to him, man. A little bravado, little fire to him, man. That gets everybody motivated. And his numbers, man, they're not pedestrian. They're what they want him to do. That's what we got to realize here. This is what the team wants him to do, and he's doing it well, man. The sacks, especially the one sack, I mean, it wasn't his fault, in my opinion, right? That was the bad snap. I saw that part when I was running around this stadium like, I don't know what I was doing. But
they had you working
today. They had me working day, bro.
Well, I would rather take the sack than the INT, right? One of the things we've talked about, and I've talked about it a lot this year, is that Tua plays some of these games that you're like, this is the guy we wanted. That's why you draft him fifth overall. Why did he make that one throw?
That did not happen today.
Yeah, it didn't happen, which was great because those are momentum killers.
Yeah.
And Travis knows.
They're game killers, not just momentum.
Well, they're becoming game killers. And when you are not – look, we cannot forget this team had a 7-game losing streak, okay? So when you're not the cream of the crop in this league, you can't afford to do those things. Mm-hmm. And today he didn't, and they just ran away with it. And I think it's a testament to if you play mistake-free or close to it and at least don't turn the darn ball over,
correct,
you give yourself a chance to line up again and go get him. And that's what they did all day long.
And that speaks to Juice's point about the style of offense they want to run. I think, yeah, like he's mentioned, you saw it. And when you have the quick, efficient game, and it's when you can hit those short, the layups, the 5-yard hitches, that keeps you on schedule. That makes things a world of a difference. And then also when you have a player like Jalen Waddle, oh boy, the big plays can come from slants. When he turns that corner back around, the keyhole accuracy we always talk about, that produced a 57-yard play in this game. I don't care how far the ball sails. 57 yards is 57 damn yards, right, Juice? So we'll talk about that. I also want to talk about what this offense is built for and a player that I think adds a new component to it that we saw in this game, his Miami Dolphins debut. That and a whole lot more. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, 33-10. The Dolphins take it. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And guys, last segment I teased about, in addition to this offense that I thought made a big difference in this game, despite the fact that he only rushed for 42 yards on 12 carries, not a crazy stat line for him, a long of 9, 3.5 yards per carry, but Juice, the way they ran to close out that game, once it was 27-10, get the football back, they go for 3 yards, 8 yards, 7 yards, 2 yards, no gain on third and short, 3 yards on fourth down to pick up the first down, 8 more yards on the next carry, but I thought the way Philip Lindsay, with his speed to the outside, and the way that complements this offense, like you mentioned, kind of wanting to go, you know, sideline to sideline, all the misdirection, all the motion, all the bunches, all the stacks, everything they do to create space within the pre-snap part of the formation, I think Philip Lindsay's speed to the outside, his expertise in the outside zone game, I think that brings another element to this offense they didn't have just 4 or 5 days ago.
It's pretty amazing to see the amount of carries he got.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean? Fresh off of, you know, coming to our squad, when you've had guys on the team like Ahmed and, you know, and guys like that, I've always been a fan of his. And the fact that we were able to get him off waivers, man, and be able to implement him into our offense right away was big time. You need players like that that have been in big time situations, played some meaningful downs, and then know how to go out there and just get it. What I noticed more about him, and I was saying this when I was talking to some of the guys. I was talking to Terry Kirby, matter of fact, about some of the guys that sit there and they, you know, we've had backs that are nice backs, but they don't know how to just go get it. But this league is go get it, man. Give me 3 or 4. You're not going to hit the home run every time, but you got to be smart about it. And Lindsay understands that. He really understands that as a back that has carried the bulk of the load for his team, and the trust that we had already with him was pretty impressive. So moving forward, I remember I said this before, Big Seth, is that we sit there and, you know, guys think they're comfortable in their meeting rooms. Every Tuesday they're out there, you know, they're out there evaluating.
Don't get comfortable.
Don't get comfortable in your meeting room, because we loved our backs. We do. We still love our backs. And Miles is not going anywhere. Ahmed's probably not. But we got some backs that should be worried about a guy like Lindsay coming in and getting these type of reps. Think about that. You know, we got guys on the practice squad that have been on practice squad all year. But now you got a guy that comes in and gets an opportunity, and he takes advantage of it. He was playing, and I think Joe Rose might have said, like a guy that's looking for a position on a team or something like that along those lines. And he plays that way. I've always liked this kid, and I'm glad we got him on our squad.
That's the kind of kid he's always been. Coming out of Colorado, he was a very productive back in college, and then he went undrafted and had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. His first 2 years.
Pro Bowl as a rookie, didn't he? As an undrafted player.
He had all kinds of big days and big stats that year. And just looking at the makeup of the Dolphins' backfield, like you mentioned, Juice, use. Gaskin leads the way with 16 rushes. He scores twice on the ground, one from a Wildcat formation. Was it both touchdowns on the Wildcat, or was it just the one?
I think just the one.
The second one was, for sure.
Yeah. And then so Lindsey has a 12 carries, then a drop-off. Ahmed gets 5 carries, but he has a fourth down conversion for 16 yards, which I thought was one of the best play calls of the entire season, to fake a sneak and then flip it out on the option toss. I loved that.
If it doesn't work, you happy with it?
Of course not. Of course not. And then Durham Smythe has 2 QB sneaks. How about that? Then Tua has a first down carry towards the end of the game as well. So they found different ways to get the rushing game going here, Seth. And that's kind of the makeup of this team, right? Just using every guy on the 53-man roster to have success.
That is the makeup of this team, and that's the way that you hear the word multiples all the time with these coaches. But certainly in the running back room, it is running back by committee. And they take a lot of heat for that. I think there's been some criticism, or at least some questioning, in some of the draft picks, and here's the running backs we could have drafted or what have you. Today was an example of it working the way they want it to. This is absolutely, if we could get into the head of what the coaching staff is and maybe the scouting staff as well, and look at the way they're drawing it up, this is what they want. 16 carries for Gaskin, 12 carries for Lindsey. As you said, Ahmed came in and he had some – he didn't have a lot of touches, but the touches he had were important. They were effective, and they moved the chains. This is the way they want to do it. They're going to invest their money elsewhere and try and get the best they can out of these guys. And, Drews, I think you hit the nail on the head. This guy's playing like, Lindsey can smell it. He sees there's an opportunity there, and he seized it. And I would not be surprised if 12 carries is a little bit more next week.
Absolutely, yeah. I think he definitely earned it. And it's like you mentioned, the juice. I tweeted about it. But also fresh legs, right? Juice, that's got to play something into the fact that he just looks a step faster.
They didn't have
a lot
of mileage on him out there.
Not a lot of mileage in the last from the Houston usage. Because they had a weird offseason. They signed like Mark Ingram. They brought in Philip Lindsay. They brought in another Rex Burkhead, just a collection of these
guys. We love Houston, man. Don't talk about Houston. We love Houston, man. They can continue to give us all the assets they want to give us. Right, Travis?
That Laremy Tunsil trade, the Sun still has not set on that trade. In fact, it won't until 2023 unless they trade back again. But that kind of leads.
How'd you know all that? I didn't know all that.
I do the podcast.
Real quick before we get too far away, both touchdowns by Gaskin were direct snaps.
Look at this guy.
Oh, they were?
This is what you love, Seth, right here.
All
he pulls up the stats. He gets a game book in front of him. He pulls it out. And
people don't like paper anymore. I don't know. I think they're missing out.
You should see Big Seth's spread
paper
here.
To good use.
He needs more desk room and desk space than anybody here. He's got books and papers and laptops.
It's a lot of information at my disposal here.
And you're quick with it. You find it quick. I like it.
Try giving him a virtual game ticket.
No, that's bad news. That's a second hour topic. Yes. That is definitely a second hour topic. Don't put me in a bad place.
Drives me right back.
Feeling good. We won 4 straight. Dominated today. Don't put me in a bad place. Start talking about technology.
Well, I'll go back to some good stats for you here because we have a couple minutes left in this segment. But the Dolphins' defense today, the Panthers had 72 yards on their first 7 plays of the game, and 64 of that was on the one play.
On one play.
So they averaged 10.3 yards per play on those first 7, which is more than double what you want to be at. And then after that, 47 plays, 126 yards, 2.68 yards per play. Juice, you can point to anybody on this defense, not anybody, but at least 6 or 7 of those guys I thought had their best games of the season.
Yeah, it's a banner day, man. It really was. A bunch of young guys coming of age. Honestly, you get to the point where, you're 11 games in, 12 games in right now, so you start to learn a little bit more about the game and the speed of the game. So, guys had it's a solid day. All around, we've been waiting for certain things to happen. All right, we never expected our special teams not to be the special teams that they were, and they finally today. I thought they probably had their best day of the season.
Without question,
on teams, 1,000%. Defensively, to be able to, you see Christian McCaffrey. You say he's out of the game. Is he out of game, or do we take him out of the game? Do we make plays to make it tough on him? Do we hit him? Whatever happened, they took him out of the game. And that's part of the game as well. Cam Newton, who's back. Well, he wasn't back today. He wasn't back against us today,
no,
man.
I don't think we're going to see that.
Yeah, one big play, and the rest of it, it was dominance against him, man. And so you're right, man. I think these guys, we're starting to, as my high school coach and college coach, both of them said the same thing. We're starting to read our own press clippings, but at the same time, we're starting to play well, knowing that we can play well. Our confidence is up. Our swag is way up. And these guys, man, I think that the fact that we feel like and we know we can play with anybody is important. It's important because at the beginning, when you're playing against good teams and you start losing to good teams, you're like, all right, we're not there yet. But when you have guys out there going out there and playing the way they're playing against teams, because this is the NFL, Big Seth, It is really any given Sunday. But when you realize you can match up with anybody out there, you go toe-to-toe with anybody out there, dude, this – I mean, I'm excited about what these guys can do. This confidence boost right here against Carolina, who was feeling good about themselves. Yep. They're really feeling good about themselves.
Yep.
You know, they get Cam back and, you know, Christian back a few weeks ago. They're feeling good about themselves. So this is a big win. But it's only more important, it's a big win for the confidence amongst our young guys. And this is going to – I can only imagine what it does the last part of the season.
You talk about the defensive numbers. This is only the third time they've allowed 30 or more points this season. The Dallas Cowboys and what they have on offense did it. The Arizona Cardinals and what they have on offense did it. And now the Miami Dolphins have put up 30 or more points on the Carolina Panthers. Also, just want to do some housekeeping here because I didn't have the numbers in front of me. But Ogbah has a sack, and he also had a seventh straight game with a pass deflection at the line, batting passes down. Wilkins has a sack, and Jalen Phillips, we'll talk about that here more soon, three sacks in his breakout game here today against the Carolina Panthers.
Is it only three? Is it stuck at three?
Almost had the fourth.
Should have had the fourth.
Yeah.
Can I just say, though, and, you know, he didn't have a sack, but – or you know, no, he didn't have a sack, but Andrew Van Ginkel played a heck of a game. Oh. You know, four quarterback hits, and Cam Newton felt every one of them.
Yes,
I can tell you, especially that first one. He was – I don't know what it was. He played like a man possessed today. And I think he had a tip ball in that Needham interception.
He did.
You know, he had another pressure there. So there's another guy who, as you said, maybe played his best game of the season today. Those guys brought it. And if you start to look at what the defense has done over the last handful of weeks – This is the team we were expecting. This is at least the defensive team, for sure.
You know it was the team I was expecting. You talk about it all the time, the wins that I promised early in the season. But we're getting back there, four games in a row.
Four in a row, and it feels good.
We're going to come back. We're going to hear from Brian Flores, Tua Tagovailoa. I also want to ask Juice about how that opening special teams touchdown can kind of spark a club. Because we talked about the Rams game, exact same thing last year. They get the big special teams play to start that thing off. So we'll talk about that and more next. Get your new Mazda with Gunther Plus at Gunther Mazda or online at GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 33, Panthers 10. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Give your game day menu the perfect kick of spice with Old El Paso. Try recipes the whole team will love, like slow cooker, cheesy chicken enchilada, bean dip. Big Seth loved that one. So does Steph the Specialist. Air fryer, beef taquitos, or carnitas mini taco bowls. Visit OldElPaso.com for these recipes and more game day favorites. Old El Paso taco together. I actually meant to say Steph the Specialist because he's rubbing his stomach, Seth, and Seth came out of my mouth, so I apologize.
I mean, this is two straight games. I get it. It's a winning streak, and it's a Seth eats too much streak, and that's okay.
You're not wrong.
My doctor just told me the same thing.
I don't think that's what it was, but hey.
We're going to have to stay on that track, and as long as we keep winning, it's going to come back your way, my man. Exactly. Speaking of looks like a duck, Walla Walla Walla, we'll talk about him here in just 1 second, baby. What a hell of a player he is, man. But I want to go back to this thing I talked about the last segment, Juice, because we talked about the Rams game, and I actually think it was the Chargers game that Miami had a blocked punt early on for a touchdown, but it was the Rams game where Jakeem Grant had a big punt return touchdown. I digress, but I want to ask you, when the special teams kicks off the game like that and puts 7 points on the board, that's an awfully big hole to climb out of when your offense or defense hasn't really been on the field. So when they come out and get that punt block and go into the end zone for a touchdown, man, what does that do for the rest of the team?
That's huge. Anytime you get points off teams, there's nothing like it, man, because teams a lot of times are neglected or not thought about as much from both sides, you know, of the football field. And so when your teams go out there and make a play like that, you know, and you get them backed up, great job by the defense keeping them backed up and giving yourself an opportunity to block a punt and go for it. Because think about this, though, Travis and Big Seth. Right there, when they're backed up like that, you're already in great field position. So, really, you could put a return on. But you know what? Say that to heck with it. Now, you know what? To hell with it. We're going to go for the block. You know, and they go for the block, and they get it. And not only get it, they get the touchdown. That's huge, man. Whenever you score on defense or special teams and your offense doesn't have to carry the whole load of scoring, there's nothing like that in football. So we talk about all three phases. All three phases doing their job. One of them is if you can score, you score it. When you pick it off like our defense did, you pick it off. When you can put an offensive drive together and put some points on the board, as an offense, you do it. There's not a doubt in my mind that today the Miami Dolphins won in all three phases. We won in all three phases today. When you win in all three phases, you win 33-10.
Absolutely.
Period. You know, and that's what they did today. And teams like you talked about, man, it's such an underappreciated part of the game by most people, but organizations spend a lot of time with it. And, you know, I always, like I talk about every single week, I got to harp on, you know, my upbringing in terms of sports and football. I was talking to Mike Westhoff the other day, and I talk to these guys all the time. I always want to pick their brains about stuff. But we spent so much time on teams, and he brought that into the league, whereas, you know, most of the time special teams was done before practice or after practice. Now they integrate it within practice because it's integrated within the game. It's in the game. So, all right, we might be doing offense, defense, all right, teams, punt team. You know, you got to do all these different things within practice, you know, not just at the end of it when everybody's freaking tired, you know.
Sure.
So it's part of it, and you do it at the end as well.
And the guys who are playing on teams, right, it's not just all reserves. You know, Duke Riley makes the big breakup on third down.
How about
and then
Duke
he comes
Riley?
Back up
what a name. I was like, I had to look him up today. I had to look him up.
Yeah.
Because I saw him starting. He was starting. He was doing, but he's playing well. And that's a great point, Big Seth, because honestly, when you're in the game, you know, it's like shooting. We talked about, I think we might have talked about this last week when we were in New York, but shooting foul shots at the end of practice. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you got to make them, when you're tired, legs, everything about it. Same thing with special teams. If you work special teams within practice, which is the way it's going to happen within the game, it's unbelievable, man, when the guys have still got that energy. You know, when I'm coaching high school football, I'm like, look, don't take a play off. Especially don't take special team plays off because that'll change the game.
Yeah,
and our team never takes plays off. It might look that way sometimes, but I look out there on the field, and especially being at home, when you can see the whole 22, you know, it's great to see how everybody's out there working, especially on special teams, man, because, you know, Seth, we just had our guest Dwight Hoyer on that we're going to have come up in a couple of weeks on our podcast, and he talked about teams.
Right.
Teams are so important. You know, and if our teams have set the tone like that, Travis, that's what it's all about. Because both teams are, like, trying to figure out offensively what we're going to do. All right, our defense, our special team said, here's what we're going to do right now. Now answer, you know, and that was important.
And I agree, Juice. And I think that another thing that, particularly when that one happened, is the Dolphins start off, again, having a great opening drive. That's something they've done very well all year. Even in the losing streak, their opening drives have been really effective. They march down there. You get inside the 25-yard line. You think you're going to go in and score. There's the big sack, the fumble, and you know, it's deflating. Next thing you know, you're punting away when you thought you were going to go and get points. But Pilardi pins that thing on the 5-yard line. They have to
boy Pilardi.
Pilardi, man, 2 weeks in a row now.
He's kicking it.
But right, so they fair catch it on the 5, and then you get that block punt. Now, again, like you said, we can't erase the fact that the defense kept them right there. You get that block punt. Great play by teams, but it also kind of erases the mistake. But it turns that opening drive almost into an opening drive score in a lot of ways. So I thought that allowed whatever the game plan was, if the idea was to go down and score on that first drive and be up 7-0, they could kind of revert back to whatever they were going to do because they put points on the board immediately through teams. So I agree with everything you just said there.
Yeah. You mentioned Pilardi, and that's kind of the case for a lot of guys in this team. You know, you see a team start off slowly, 1-7. Certain guys are not having the individual success you want them to. And fans are in, and I understand why this happens. You say, we have to find a replacement for player X because he can't do it. And then a certain switch flips, and all of a sudden, these guys are players that are winning you football games.
Right.
So there is, within the season, and Juice has talked about this how many times in the show, Seth, where he says they're going to have to figure out internally. You're not going to go out and find a starting right tackle on the street that's going to come in and be an all-pro. Like, you got to get it figured out inside the walls over there. And to that point, you talk about special teams, Juice. Like, I can attest to this. Nobody works on it more than that team across the street at the practice field because I see it out there every day. Those guys rep that over and over again. And that's how you get in that situation where you can check to a jammer who is going to line up out wide over the gunner, right. And all of a sudden, I don't know if you call it a jammer. That's my name for it.
Double vice, jammers, whatever you want to call it. I got you.
You bring him over. And right,
I was just buying into it.
It sounds, pretty good. Right at the snap, he flips in and comes in. He opens up. He's not the one that makes the block, but he opens up that blocker who comes out.
You got to pay attention to him.
Exactly.
Got to pay attention to him.
The jammer.
The jammer, yeah. One of the double vice guys. I got it.
We'll call him the man with jammer.
Keep an eye out for that jammer. I'm not calling him that.
And here's the thing about it, too, though. Let's think about why Pilardi has so much success today, too, was the fact that, you know, he's punting into shorter fields. Defense is giving him short. You know, we didn't move the ball a couple of times where we needed to and with great field position. But at the same time, though, gave our punter an opportunity to pin him down inside the 10, 15-yard line. And he did it. He did a great job of that. When you see the kickoff over and over punt, over and over again, that means we've moved the ball somewhere. We had great field position to start, and we pin them, and we dare somebody to go 85, 90 yards, and they couldn't do it today. They had one big play that led to a drive, and that was
They
had no chance.
I said it when they hit that play. I turned to Travis, and I said, look, I can live with that. Because Cam Newton is just not at the stage of his career where he's going to beat you with his arm.
Correct.
And not against this secondary, particularly not the way they're playing today. So you're exactly right. You're exactly right that that's the way it was going to go all day. I mean, look, we heard in the middle of that just how do we find a win, seven-game losing streak, Brian Flores talking about the margin between victory and defeat being so small. But he also used a phrase, and it stood out to you, Travis, and it was that everyone is just taking turns making mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, it's just amazing. You get one win under your belt, and then it becomes two and three, now four, Juice, and everyone's taking turns standing out, getting sacks, creating turnovers. Your punter, for crying out loud, the punter, he's pinning people down at five. Where was that guy all year?
Right.
So it really, winning can become contagious just as much as losing can. And it just feels a lot better to be on this side of it.
The show is way more fun to do, too. After these
That's
wins.
For sure.
And you mentioned guys turning around. Justin Coleman's been on a tear recently. That touchdown he scored today on teams, his fourth career touchdown.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. That got a holy bleep out of Omar Kelly, as did everything else today.
Yeah, there was about 40 of those in the box, but – that's neither here nor
there. Are you allowed to do that in there?
You're not.
I don't know
what.
Apparently
not.
You are. I guess you are because he stays doing it.
Well, either way, we're going to have a guy that never cusses coming up next year. Tua Tagovailoa will come to the postgame.
It looked like he was cussing a little bit, but we had to verify that, whether he was cussing. He was a little upset at times today, but I loved it.
Like
I loved
that gamuts or something.
Yeah. You're killing my segues, brother.
Sorry, bro.
No, you're all good. You're all good. Get your new Mazda with Gunther Plus at Gunther Mazda or online at GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 33, Panthers 10. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. The Dolphins are back in action, and this season you can be back in the stands to experience it all live. Get verified tickets from Ticketmaster, the official marketplace of the NFL, and you will not miss a single epic moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered, because selling your seats securely with Ticketmaster is as easy as a few taps, just like downloading a virtual ticket. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Nothing, Seth? You good?
I'm good. You're talking about tickets
and all
that. Yeah. We'll get to that. That's a second hour deal.
I know. I just didn't get a reaction I was going for. So.
No, I was thinking about this whole paperless society
thing. That's your best move. Just ignore me. You're going to get messed up if you do that. So good on you. Let's go ahead and throw it now to Tua, who spoke to the media after the game.
Yeah. I mean, we look like the team that we kind of wanted to be at the beginning of this year. It looked like a lot of guys went out there confident, knowing what to expect offensively, defensively, and in a kicking game. I would say this is the best that we've played complimentary football yet, but there's still some plays that were left out there on the field that we can fix.
You just have 7 completions in the last 2 weeks. Is this the best you felt?
I just think it's preparation throughout the week with the guys, and feeling confident in what we got in, as far as the plays. So.
How do you talk about the chemistry you once had with Jalen in college, and you wanted this to work and it's going to continue to grow? What made it work today? You had to touch on that long completion.
Well, we understood that this was going to be a man team. They played a lot of man, and when they did play zone, we tried to take advantage of in cuts, crossers, things like that. So. It's really what we expected and, what they showed us out there. I mean, that's so far back, I can't even, remember. We had so many guys that I was working with there. But I would say it started when we got Jalen, when Jalen came in and started with OTAs and then throughout the summer camp practices and then leading up to this point. Well, I just think it's, everyone in there just not listening to the outside noise, just believing in one another and really just zoning in and playing football that we know we can play. It's playing complimentary football.
There were a couple of sacks that were driving killers, a couple of fumble snaps too. Just overcoming those, is that maybe something you look at this game, all the positives, and you think that's something you guys are most proud of?
Well, I would say we're not proud of, taking a sack and getting us out of field goal range, missed opportunities, that the defense gives us, you know, and we have a fumbled snap, you know, all of those things. Obviously, we don't like them, and we don't plan for them to happen. But you know, you got to move on to the next play in this league, and you got to continue playing 60 minutes.
Any of the passes to Jalen stand out to you? Either communication with him or any of the plays stand out?
I mean, I would say no. Jalen's just been in the right place at the right time. You know, there's times where he gets covered and he's still open. You know, so you take a look at one of the third downs that we had. I think it was 26, Dante Jackson covering him. I mean, that was really good coverage. Jalen still got open.
So I think I remember you saying earlier this year that you and Jalen had a lot of open communication on the sideline, including him saying, like, okay, this is how I want to run a route. This is where I want the ball. You know, how has that developed over the course of the season, and how has that, I guess, made his current stretch possible?
Well, I don't think anything's changed up to this point. It's still been open communication with Jay. It's open communication with really all the receivers and the line. We come into the team meeting room as an offense, and really we go through all the plays, and it's open communication. You know, everyone's in there, the O-line, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the tight ends, so that we can hear, you know, what happened on the play, and then we can get it fixed. Well, I think he did a great job today for us. You know, towards the ending, you know, of the game, towards the ending of the third quarter as well. You know, just coming in and not really understanding the offense, but really dialing in this week. You know, staying after practices, whether it was with me, Jacoby, or Jake. You know, trying to get the guys to stay after, run through some plays with him. You know, I think he's a hard worker. You know, from the couple of days that I've known him, and I mean it shows, you know. So, you know, excited to see what the next couple of weeks can do. Next couple of weeks we can do with him. So,
yeah. Jalen, you know what it's like as a rookie coming in and needing that time to just transition into the NFL. What's that been like? Jalen, has it been, you know, what you would think a typical receiver is? Has it been, you know, similar? But what is his transition?
Well, I don't want to speak for Jalen, but to me, you know, he's looked very mature coming into the league since we got him. You know, just seeing his development as a receiver, working against man, knowing the spots in certain zone defenses to be in, to get himself open, I think he's done a great job with that. So. Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's happy. I mean, everyone's happy in the locker room, you know, after a win. And that was a really good team that we played, you know, in all three phases. So, you know, we're going to enjoy this win. We got a victory Monday. So, you know, thanks to Coach Flores. Then we're really on to the next game against the Giants.
Coming up next, we'll have Brian Flores and his postgame presser. We'll also recap what Tua Tagovailoa just said that you just heard there on the postgame show here. Get your new Mazda with Gunther Plus at Gunther Mazda or online at GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins take it in a big blowout victory, 33-10 over the Panthers. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. We're going to come back and recap what Tua just talked about, as well as Brian Flores, as we throw it to him right now in his post-game press conference.
Yeah, I thought, you know, we played a complimentary game, starting with the punt block early. I thought the offense played well. I thought the defense played well. I thought, you know, the guys had a good week of preparation. I think that showed up today, and I thought our coaches did a great job this week getting them prepared. You know, Thanksgiving week is there's a lot going on, so I think, you know, Josh defensively, George and Eric offensively, Danny in the kicking game. I thought they all did a nice job getting these guys prepared and the players executed.
How do you explain the turnaround you guys have had on defense? It's been pretty dramatic the last couple of weeks.
I think credit to the players, you know, first and foremost. I think those guys are, communicating well, tackling well, executing. I think the coaching staff has done a nice job, putting them in positions to have success. But credit to the players.
To what do you attribute the rhythm that Tua got into and also the connection with
Dalvin? Preparation. Practice. I think, we worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. And we've been able to string some good weeks together from a practice standpoint. And you're seeing that show up in the game.
Jalen Phillips had 3 sacks today. How do you assess his performance and his progress as the season's gone on?
Yeah, I think he's just getting better every week. For a lot of guys on this team, we just keep working, keep trying to improve and get better every day. And if you do that, they're starting to see some of the fruits of that work. Jalen's no different. He's in here early. He stays late. Does a good job meeting practice, meeting walk-through practice. Plays hard. He's selfless in a lot of ways, and oftentimes, we're running games, and he's the pick guy, and somebody else comes free. And today, I didn't know how many he had. I didn't know it was 3, but good for him, and obviously good for our team.
Yeah, we've been waiting a long time for Waddle to sort of break a big one. How good was it to see that happen?
Well, I think it's, he's been open. I think it's, we've just worked hard to, get it to him. So, well, there's protection, putting the whole thing together. I mean, it's not just, this isn't 7-on-7 where you just, go out there and beat somebody, and, there's a lot that goes into it. So, play call, protection, good throw, good catch, beating somebody at the top of the route. I would say he's been open, but there's always, few other things that happen on any given play. We're just able to execute today. I think that's a direct correlation from practice, because we executed in practice.
On Friday, you mentioned how difficult it is for a guy to contribute off one walkthrough, one practice. What was the determining factor for you to allow for the Lindsay to do it
better? I think Eric did a great job getting him ready to play. As soon as he got here, which was, I think it was Wednesday night, he was right in on the playbook. We had a small package for him. He was, the walkthrough on Thursday to practice on Friday to, have more reps and more walkthroughs, yesterday and even this morning. We felt comfortable with a small package of getting him in there. I thought he did some nice things. He brings a lot of juice, a lot of energy. We're pleased to have him on the team.
You brought the whole Christian McCaffrey to 35 yards, Cam Newton only 92 yards passing. I'm sure all week you were
Well, well, look, I think that's a good team over there. I think obviously McCaffrey's a great player, and Cam Newton's an accomplished player who's done a lot in this league, and Moore and Robbie Anderson. I mean, they got a good team, and they've played well this year. So we knew it was going to be a challenge. And I think our guys executed. I think our guys, we had a plan going in. I think Josh had a good plan going in. Put together a good plan for us defensively. We executed the plan. We got off blocks. We made tackles. We got them in some third downs. They hit the big one early, which, they caught us in the blitz. They blocked it up, and they got behind us, which, happens occasionally. But I think, I think our guys came back. We talked to them about playing for 60 minutes, and, the highs and lows of a game, the ebbs and flows of a game. I think our guys kind of withstood some adversity, whether it was that play, whether it was the play before the half. I think, our guys just kept coming back, and, it was good to see that.
Final question?
You were asked about Waddle and Phillips. Obviously, Javon Holland also had a big play. Those three rookies seem to be just three players. How much confidence do you have in faith in them to go out and play?
Yeah, I think all those guys, I think I think we're getting contributions from, a lot of our rookie class, a lot of our second-year class, too. So, again, they just work, and they keep working. And, I think all they want to do is get better. All they want to do is try to improve. I think they're team first. I think guys are, you know, supporting each other. You know, and rookies are supporting the vets are supporting the rookies. And we just want to, you know, those guys in particular just want to help this team any way they can. And I think, you know, that's showing up in their play.
What a perfect segue that was there from Coach for us. We'll talk about this draft class coming up, also the 2020 class and the production they have shown so far this season. We'll hand out game balls. We'll react to the media you just heard. Plenty more to come here on the Dolphins' fifth quarter postgame show. Miami Dolphins fans, are you ready for game day? With Cheez-It, you can choose your perfect game day snack, made with 100% real cheese for a deliciously cheesy snack experience. So stock up on all your favorite flavors, and we'll see you back here at your favorite game. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 33, Panthers 10. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.